It is, again, a blessing to be here with you, to share with you from the Word of God. I appreciate Jean's comments, and it so happens that on Mission Sunday, we're also talking about the persecuted church. I'm just going to throw you a bone. In 1959, when Fidel Castro came to power in Cuba, there were 50 churches of Christ in Cuba. After over 50 years of persecution, the church has grown 4 times. Blessed are the persecuted. Now, you may not see it this way, but I hope that by the end of this lesson, you will understand what I'm saying. Okay, when I raise my finger, switch. Greetings from Jamaica, a country of 3 million persons, and my wife and myself are blessed to be here. It's been through the blessing of God, through the grace of God, that we have been able to be on the front line of the spread of the gospel for 40 years. And this congregation has partnered with us in recent years, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate the hospitality of the brethren, and of course, Jean and Ruth have been so very nice to us. Thank you very much. God has had a master plan for the human race, for mankind, for you and I. This plan has been for the coming of Christians, has been in the mind of God from before creation. And God's master plan was that we are going to have Christians, we are going to have faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and they were going to end up in heaven. Amen. That's the master plan. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, you see this plan. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Watch this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Before the events of Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before that, God had the idea of having Christians. And if you're going to have Christians, you're going to have the Savior. Amen. Just as he chose us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, in Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus Christ speaking just before he's crucified, he talks to his disciples. He says, then the king will say to those on the right hand, talking about the judgment day, come you blessed of my Father. Watch this. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Think about that. In other words, God had in mind heaven prepared for his followers from before the foundation of the world. That means God has a master plan. He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, as opposing this master plan is the devil. He has always opposed the plan of God from the very beginning. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, told them to eat of any fruit, but not of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil, and God said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. The devil came with his own propaganda to say, you'll not die. And in the punishment of the serpent, God said, and I will make enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, when Jesus Christ came to earth, the devil sought to kill Jesus Christ. He had Herod to issue a decree that all boys under 2 years should be killed. But by the providence of God, he was not able to get to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ grew up and began his ministry at age 30. And as Jesus' ministry progressed, he saw mankind as they really were. The Bible says he began by teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as his ministry progressed, he saw the great need of mankind. You know, today, the world, especially in the Western world, many people are living lives without meaning. They're wandering aimlessly. That's why so many people end up taking drugs, so many people involved in alcohol, so many people are involved in all sorts of things to add some sort of meaning to their life or just to make them feel something. Well, Jesus Christ saw that picture in the first century. He went through at the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the multitude, notice how he described them. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And therefore he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers or workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. And that statement of Jesus Christ applies to Christians today. Meaning, our job is to get into harvesting. Right. Harvesting is not a job for the preacher only or the missionaries in foreign lands. Harvesting is a job for Christians, individual Christians. When Jesus Christ was going back to heaven, Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28 verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Notice how it ends, verse 20. Teaching them whom? Those who are converted. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Well, he just commanded them to make disciples of all nations. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So Jesus Christ has compassion. Do we have compassion? But notice, the devil eventually got the people when they were standing before Caesar. Yes? To say, crucify him. Crucify him. So the devil had Jesus crucified, but God raised him from the dead. In other words, he bruised the heel of Jesus. But when he rose from the dead, God crushed his head. Very important. But the point here is this. The devil has always been opposed to the plan of God. Always. So that's why he crucified Jesus Christ. Not knowing he played into the hands of Almighty God. We talk about persecution. You know, one of the things I want you to take with you today is that when the church started, from the very beginning, it was persecuted. Yes. Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor. Acts chapter 7. By the AD 300, the persecuted church had grown so much that the emperor of the Roman Empire issued, two successive emperors issued two consecutive decrees. Number one, the Edict of Toleration. You ever heard about it? The Edict of Toleration that said, look, let's stop persecuting the Christians. Because the more we persecute them, the more they grow in number. Right. So, they issued the Edict of Toleration that says, let's tolerate Christianity in the empire, no more persecution. And then Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, which says, we'll not only stop persecuting them, but we'll give them back the buildings that we confiscated, give them back their land. In other words, eventually, the Roman Empire had to bow and say, leave Christianity alone. In Cuba, they don't allow us to put up church buildings, but the more they don't allow us to put up church buildings is the more the church spreads. Because the church started originally in homes. So good, no problem to get back into homes. All right? And Fidel Castro's brother, before he demitted office, made this statement in the Committee for the Revolution, in the Government Council. He said, leave the Christians alone. They make the best Cuban citizens. They are honest, hardworking. They build strong families. They're hard work. There are people who are helping to build Cuba. Leave them alone. I tell you, you cannot fight God and win. You cannot. God's people have faced persecution throughout history. What is persecution? Well, by definition, it is hostility or ill treatment because of your religious beliefs. The word itself comes from the Latin word persecut, which means followed with hostility or having hostility. So, hostility, persecution exists in America. It exists in other parts of the world. And of course, we don't have the persecution of locking up people in America or in Jamaica or in the Western world, but you have hostility to true Christianity. The beliefs of true Christians, right? People want to turn off the teachings of Christianity. But in India, there's persecution outright. You cannot go in the streets, not doors. In Nepal, they lock you up if they find you evangelizing. So work in Nepal is done indoors. In Africa, in many countries of the world, there is persecution. Today, I want to talk about the persecuted church. I want to spread an understanding of really what's going on here. The persecuted church. First of all, let us understand this. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is awesome. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 17, Jacob had this dream, the ladder going to heaven and angels going to and fro on the ladder. And he said, man, how awesome is this place? You know, I spoke in our Bible class this morning about our work in China. And I say to myself, isn't this awesome that God has opened up a door for us to be in China through the teaching of English? The Chinese government is opposed to Christianity, but they want their people to learn English. Therefore, we use the Bible to teach them English, and then we therefore teach them Christianity. How awesome is this place? Meaning impressive, inspiring, worthy of reverence, admiration, godly fear. The church is awesome. We should never leave it. Awesome. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Jacob having said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. The church of the house of God. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul says, but if I am delayed, I want you to know how you may conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church is awesome. It is the house of God. It is the Lord's church. And it is a blessing to be with it, with inside of it. The church, even when persecuted, remains steadfast. Brethren in Egypt, brethren in Africa, in India, in Cuba, they're not leaving, they're staying. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Notice what it says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Christianity has meaning when we are working. I didn't hear an amen. Christianity has great a meaning when we are working for God. Here's what Jesus Christ said. He says in John chapter 4, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he says, working for God energizes me. So get involved in ministry, because that's part of how you're going to survive. As a Christian, you know, we have known for a long time that the devil finds works for idle hands. He does it. Get to work for God. So the persecuted church does not lose sight of its duty. In Acts chapter 8, we read that the church in Jerusalem was persecuted. And under the influence of Saul, they had to flee Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 8, as they fled Jerusalem, the Bible says, what were they doing? It says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So persecution actually propelled them. Oh, we are persecuted, but we're not giving up, because we know what our duty is. Even when people in the workplace are hostile to the fact that you're a Christian, don't watch that. Just get on with the Lord's work, because we know. And even when persecuted, if Christians die, their work is not forgotten by God, by Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, what does it say? Revelation 14 and verse 13, it says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Notice it says, in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their works, their labors, and their works follow them. You know, men may never recount the amount of work we do for God, but God does not forget. And may that comfort us. God does not forget. He is glad. When Stephen was being stoned to death, what did Jesus do? The Jesus who is pictured sitting at the right hand of God stood up as Stephen was stoned to death. Persecuted, we are blessed. We focus on evangelism in spite of persecution. The Bible talking about when the brethren were in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and they brought them to the magistrate. When Paul had healed the woman, of her illness, her spirit, her illness. And he said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against him, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rod. That's rod, and that's Paul and his companions. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Well, the Bible goes on to say what happened. An earthquake came and rocked the prison. And the jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped. And he was about to kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. Do yourself. In other words, though Paul had been persecuted, though he had been beaten, he did not forget his responsibility. He says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, you and be saved. You will be saved, you and your household. And that they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all those who were in the house. And they took him that same hour of the night, took them and washed them with their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Isn't that amazing? Persecuted, yet persisting with the work of the Lord. Here, bear this in mind, my friends. Bear this in mind. Persecution is not always a bad thing. Jesus Christ himself said these words, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs in the kingdom of heaven. Don't let fear stop us from doing the Lord's work. We'd love to have the young people going to doing vacation Bible schools in foreign lands. For families, retirees going and working in evangelistic activities. Don't be afraid, because the Lord, he says, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Press on with the Lord's work. And the thing about it, you know, the persecuted brethren know that. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Remember that song? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. So, in spite of persecution, we have an anchor. And it's Jesus Christ. An anchor that keeps us rooted, connected, stops us from drifting off. Our hope is our anchor, and our hope is in Jesus Christ, the head of the Church of Christ. The persecuted church knows it's a privilege and a blessing to be a Christian. For we have not come to the mountain that may not be touched, and the mountain that's burnt with fire and blackened the darkness and tempest, referring to the Old Testament Mount Sinai. But we have come to the great company of angels. The persecuted church knows that the church is ultimately invincible, that those who persecute cannot bring down the church, that the church is indestructible, that Jesus Christ says, upon this rock I will what? Build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The persecuted church knows that the church, as Jacob saw the house of God as the gateway of heaven, he saw that the house of God, the church of Christ, the church is the gateway of heaven. That we are, as Christians, at the gates, that you have your ticket, you have made your down payment as of the Holy Spirit, and you are at the point of boarding. So persecution or no persecution, we will prevail. Therefore, brethren, press on. Support the Lord's kingdom, the church. You do your part. Persecution is, he said, blessed are the persecuted. Persecution, when we get hostility because we are Christians, don't mind. Because God is going to bless you if you stand in the midst of persecution. But remember where the persecution comes from. It comes from Satan, who is trying to undermine Christianity. He used Herod to try to kill Jesus. At first he used Saul to persecute the church. But eventually Saul saw the light. And Saul, when confronted on the road to Damascus, and God said to him, Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he says, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he told him to go to Jerusalem, and he would be told what he should do, what the persecutor should do about his persecution. And he went to Jerusalem, and I said to him, why, and we say to those who are not in Christ today, why tirest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling the name of the Lord. Because God wants everybody to be part of the fruition of his master plan, that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth as we stand and we sing the song of encouragement.